Welcome to another episode of the Pastor's Inbox on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. In this episode, we take up the second conversation on dressing modestly. In our last conversation, we asked, what does it mean to dress modestly? But the question for this episode is, what are some principles that can ensure that Christians are dressing modestly? So Pastor Lee, if you want to review it all, or if you want to jump straight into the question, answering the question, feel free to take this conversation where you will, brother.
Well, that's dangerous. I would say, just by way of a quick review, the word modest or modestly is found really only in one context in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy 2:9. We did point out in that previous episode how you've got actually two different words there that are used. New American Standard and ESV translate one word modest or modestly, and the New King James translates another word modest. The whole picture there is well-ordered. It's connected to a word that means having good sense. That's kind of the broad stroke of it. But now going to the subject of guidelines, well, I would say, firstly, let's go back to the original apparel back in Genesis chapter 3, when God clothed Adam and Eve in order to cover their nakedness. Well, there's one guideline. That means clothing should cover our nakedness. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen from 1 Timothy 2:9, Scripture doesn't go into specifics, how much flesh is to be shown, how long, how loose the clothing must be, or if you want to get into other adornment, what size the earrings should be, or are we allowed to wear any earrings and so forth. Well, I don't wear earrings, but nonetheless, you get the idea that there can be all kinds of specifics. Scripture doesn't do that. And that reflects, or I might even use the word respects, differences, different periods in history, different cultures. And so it's not like everyone today must wear what was worn in first century Jerusalem, or for that matter, 18th century Europe, or as in the Muslim world, certain places where the women wear burqas. I mean, their eyes, that's all you're seeing here. Or the Iranian government requiring that ladies wear the hijab, that has got to be, well, unlike certain clothing police among some Christians, Scripture doesn't prescribe specifics. If I might put it this way, if John Owen should be resurrected for a day, how disappointed he would be to have to leave the presence of Christ to come back to this world. But if he should be resurrected for a day and visit even good churches, would he think our ladies are modest? Probably not. Certainly not by 17th century standards. These ladies are showing their ankles, their wrists, even their elbows. And look, some of them are wearing red. How dare they come dressed in red? I don't know that John Owen would say those things, but that, you get the idea. And there are two problems, I think, to be avoided and really deserve to be addressed. First, it is true that some Christians in our culture, especially ladies, may be immodest in their apparel by anybody's standard. The clothing is too revealing. It's too tight. It accentuates certain parts of the anatomy. It shows too much flesh, whatever. If it's designed, or if it's even without being the design, if it's going to get the wrong kind of attention, should it be worn by Christians? Well, and that does apply to men as well as women, but especially for ladies. And I say that with real sympathy. I hear a report from ladies how difficult it can be, especially for younger women, to find modest apparel, things that are suitable. As guidelines, I would quickly say this. If there's any question for a married woman, ask your husband. For a single person, or even if you are married, you still ask your dad. I don't want to be insulting to our dear sisters, but you can't always trust moms because sometimes, but it's just so cute. So I want to throw mom in there, but ask your dad. He should have enough sense to know. But if there is a question, is this too revealing? Well, then play it safe. Don't wear it, especially don't wear it to church. I mean, do we really want to communicate the wrong thing? We read in Proverbs 7:10 about this married woman, okay? And she is wearing the attire of a harlot. Now, that in that day would not have meant, you know, stilettos and a miniskirt. Whatever the attire of a harlot was, it was like a sign open for business here. And she wasn't a harlot, but she was trying to communicate that she was available. Well, do we really want to send the wrong kind of message with our apparel? I think it is right. Will this cause someone to stumble? I think especially ladies dressing and men, will it cause them to stumble? Will it get the wrong kind of attention from men or women if I'm wearing this particular way, if I'm adorning myself? So that's one problem in one area that really does need to be addressed and should prayerfully be considered before the Lord. But the other side of that is what I've already referred to by way of the clothing police. People who are on the lookout, buddy, and they're ready to make an arrest. You dare not offend against their understanding of what is modest. But wait a minute, who gets to define what is modest? Who sets the standard for modesty? Well, we're all going to agree, not the world. Okay, so John Owen then? John Owen sets the standard for what's modest? Or how about the Iranian government? And you got to wear the hijab. Do they get the job to dictate to us what is our standard of modesty? Well, no. Nor does any group of women or men in a particular circle of churches. Their opinion, their definition, you can't wear this, that, or the other thing. It's got to be just what I've said. Let's go back to what was said in a previous episode about Christian liberty. God alone is Lord of the conscience. He alone has the right to bind the conscience. Now, it's true we have this biblical standard about modest apparel. But as we've intimated, we're not given specifics. Now, you may have a well-meaning Christian, and they're going to spell out specifics. This lady, she spells out specifics for herself or for her daughters. And that's very proper. That's good. But it's not proper to then say, and this is what God requires of everyone. This is the biblical standard. That happens. And that's arrogant. That is usurping God's place and authority. And therefore, it's wrong. Can more mature and spiritual-minded ladies give advice? Oh, certainly, in right context, right relationships, and right ways. But we're not in Iran. And God has not called, nor has he required anyone to be a clothing police. And so I would say, if that's your tendency, beware, beware. It's right to ask, is this what God himself requires? Again, if that's your outworking of biblical principles, you're out well and good. But has God then set this standard for every single Christian woman or, for that matter, man? And the question is where? Chapter and verse for your specifics here. And for those who are victims of the clothing police, well, you may thank them for their desire to be helpful. But you don't have to give them God's place in binding your conscience. He alone is Lord of the conscience. Instead of going after specifics, since Scripture doesn't, focus instead on what God has said. And that's what we've looked at in 1 Timothy 2, 9, and 10. That which is proper, of good sense, that doesn't draw unnecessary or the wrong kind of attention. But behind all of that, what Paul is really going after in 1 Timothy 2 is motive. He's talking about coming together for corporate prayer. Ladies don't come with that desire to be seen. Well, that's talking about motivation. don't come with to dress in a way to get the eyes of others, men or other women or whatever else. So I think that's a good question for women now. Why do I want to wear this item? Why do I want to dress this way or look this way? Is it for ostentation? Is it to get a wrong kind of attention, either from men or, quite honestly, more innocently, either from the adoring looks of other women? Oh, look at you. But that then, as a guideline, I would say have a mindfulness of others. What that apparel or my whole appearance will communicate and how it will affect others. Again, not to dress in a way to cause others, men in particular, to stumble, though quite honestly, ladies get heavy laid on them all the time about, well, you'll call some brother stumble. Well, that might be true, but that brother needs to learn to reel it in, buddy. Watch your eyes. Remember what scripture says, but I leave that aside. I will add to that. I remember hearing one time of a guy saying that women dare not be showing their wrists. Their clothes have to cover their wrists because seeing a woman's wrist turned him on. That guy's got a problem. Okay, reel it in, bud. I mean, if a wrist gets to you, whoa. But again, being mindful of how that apparel, that appearance will address others. And in fact, not to adorn in such a way as is going to hinder fellowship, since we're to pursue those things which edify, Romans 14:19, and keeping God as our focus. Well, Joe, as is often my habit, I've gone too long. Brother, what do you think?
Well, I guess I'll add the question is what are some principles that can ensure that Christians are dressing modestly? Well, Lee, let me come back to you just a moment and ask something. I'm interested from what you just said. While we don't want to be the clothing police, there are times, are there not, where clearly lines are crossed. And I guess my fear is I don't want someone out there saying, well, you don't have any right to judge this as being immodest. Suppose they're, you know, wearing clothing that is very, very revealing. I don't want someone to say, well, since the scripture never says anything in particular, therefore I don't need to be concerned about that. You would agree with that, I'm sure.
No, I think, you know, I think you're right. And I think, again, I believe I mentioned this about, you know, for a more mature or spiritual minded sister with good motives to give her advice or to say, you know, dear, you may not recognize this, but if they're in the habit, if somebody's in a habit of, boy, here's this person and that person and that person. And yes. I mean, I've seen this happen, you know, that's why I'm referring to as a clothing police, but they're always on the lookout for somebody to bust, you know? And again, what they're imposing is their own standard, because they might think, well, wait a minute, you're wearing something that's a V-neck, or you're wearing this particular item. And I think that's just ungodly. And so they're ready to take it on themselves. And my standard is God's standard, and you'd better address that. That's what I'm looking at. But you're right, Joe. If somebody's dressing, I know of a younger woman that was rather large by her own admission. She had a hard time finding clothing that was not too tight. And she wasn't trying to communicate anything. It was the fact of the matter. So yes, yeah. I think there is a time and a place, but it would also have to do maybe with the relationship, because if you don't have a relationship with somebody about any issue and you're going to just go up suddenly and start blasting them on something, hold on, is that really going to be received? And what's my motive? And would it not be better to take the person aside and in a humble and quiet way? But let me pass that back to you, Joe. I hope I answered the question.
Yes, you did. You did answer. Thank you for that. You know, when it comes to principles that ensure Christians are dressing modestly, since we want to draw attention to our God. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. If we're drawing attention to ourselves, then we're drawing it away from our God. So one of the principles that can ensure dressing modestly is for me to live in the fear of God and walk in the fear of God and to love Him supremely. Yeah. Think about whether your motive is to please God. I think sometimes immodest dress is just carelessness. And so I think that women, especially women, but men also, but you should stop and you should think and you should pray. You want everyone else to see in you a person who loves God and aims to please God. And you want to dress in such a way as to even attract others to God. I Googled this idea of modesty with this website, Got Questions. I like what they said. They said, at the core of dressing modestly is reverence for God. Rather than seek to garner attention through appearance, godly women are to seek to glorify God. Of course, and I like the fact that they added this, this same principle also applies to men. Both women and men are called to honor God in all aspects of their lives, including in how they dress. So instead of focusing on societally impressive exterior, believers are to grow in their godly character. So love your God supremely. And number, the second table of the law is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I would say you should love your neighbor who is of the opposite sex. Surely you do not want them gawking. And I would say this to ladies who sometimes are very careless in the way they dress. And sometimes they just want you to notice them. And let's face it, there are women out there who want men to notice them. But if you're a Christian woman, you don't want some man looking at you and fantasizing about you, do you? And I will say this, it is wicked to tempt others to sin. To entice other people to sin is sin. And this is something sometimes that people don't, and some women don't like to admit. I've seen this on Twitter before. I know we're often reminded that lustful men, and the guy, I agree with you, Lee, the guy with who is turned on by the wrist, he's got a problem. I remember my dad telling me that his stepdad was so wicked that he used to go down to the, and imagine the day he lived in, my father's stepfather, used to go down to the bus stop so he could see the women's ankles when they got stepped onto the bus. So to him, I mean, that was how he got his lustful fix in. Well, we've come a long way from those days, haven't we? Lustful men are responsible. And they're guilty for their sin of lust. But I'm just going to say it is also true that women who dress immodestly are guilty of enticing men to lust. So I don't want anyone, whenever I hear an immodestly dressed woman boasting that she's not responsible for some man's lack of self-control, here's what I know. Then and there, this is not a woman who fears God, or who cares to please God, or who loves her neighbor as herself. She's not exercising the kind of love that she should. I'm not excusing the man at all who is filled with lust, but neither can we excuse the woman who dresses in a way that is calculated to entice people to lust. Like you said, Lee, if you're not sure, err on the safe side. Get the honest opinion of other godly people and follow that. Frankly, I have to admit, sometimes I see some teenagers dress and I wonder what their parents are thinking. I have to admit that. And sometimes I'll see a lady dressed and I know she's a godly lady. I know her husband is a godly man, but I wonder what he's thinking and what he's saying to her. And I think these are issues. I think it is important. We live in a lust-filled society anyway. And while I'm not going to excuse the woman dressing immodestly, I'm not going to say that's an excuse for the man to lust after her. I am going to say also that I can't excuse the woman who dresses in such a way as is to entice someone to do so. Examine your motives in wearing what you wear. The Got Questions website said this: we need to check our hearts first And then possibly we need to change our clothes. So be willing to think about that. I have to admit, I'm not the clothing police, I don't think, brother. So I certainly don't want to be that. But I do think that we need to be careful not to be conformed to the fashion of this world, including the way in which we dress. And by the way, I think the duty to dress modestly applies to all times and places, although I recognize that the norms from John Owen's day changes to our day. I recognize that. And we should recognize that. But there are people who think it's you've got to dress modest on one occasion when you go to church, but you don't have to dress modest when you go to the prom or the pool or the wedding, the formal event. I think you should dress in a way that honors God anywhere. And I know that still there are different kinds of clothing used for different events, but I still believe that you can dress in a way that honors God and that shows your love for your neighbor of the opposite sex also. Mm-hmm. Well, Lee, I'll throw it back to you. You may have something you want to say to what I've said, but that's all I've got on the subject.
I don't have anything to say apart from this, brother, that it illustrates, you know, the different scenarios and there's a complexity to the subject, a breadth to the subject on how to answer that. It's not going to be a one size fits all answer, and it is going to depend on the variables and again what kind of mindset, but the motive, and especially the motive to glorify God. Yeah, that's key. That's key.
Yeah. Amen.
Can I ask a few questions to help us summarize this episode?
Lee will answer them.
It seems to me that as in this conversation, we're emphasizing two problems on this subject. On the one hand, an over-scrupulosity of details that aren't outlined in Scripture, which can create a form of legalism, making a set of laws that we require other people to follow that God doesn't require in Scripture. That's one of the errors on the subject. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And then on the other hand, the issue could be reducing the moral elements to dress. For instance, the Westminster Larger Catechism forbids immodest apparel in the seventh commandment. And then you also mentioned the man who's lustful. Of course, the seventh commandment requires watchfulness over the eyes and all the senses. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, we're making sure that we don't reduce the moral elements with dress, the moral principles. And on the other hand, we don't want to become legalistic in the over-scrupulosity of details. Is that an accurate summation?
Yes, I would certainly think so, brother, because that is it. And you, I guess I have, in my answering this question, have more of a sensitivity because of things I've seen. To the latter, I've tried not to forget about the moral principle side of it, but the idea of the clothing police that I've mentioned, you know, I've seen so much of that in Christian circles, and then knowing something about the background, the question that was asked, I think it would probably be on the side of the person fearing there are the clothing police out there. But on the other hand, maybe it's this other facet of this. But I think your summation of what we said is very right.
Yeah. And I don't think you are reducing the moral principle of this conversation at all. I was just trying to summarize. So if I communicated that, I apologize.
No. Oh, that's good.
And I do think that this is a sensitive topic that requires this much explanation, at least whenever we try to articulate it. So that way we're making sure we're hitting all the sides of it, like you guys have been doing very well in these last few episodes. Well, any other thoughts before I bring us to a conclusion?
No, I've probably got myself in enough trouble already.
No, I thank you guys for taking up this very important subject on dressing modestly, especially as it regards to principles that can ensure that Christians are dressing modestly. If our listeners have any further thoughts, further questions pertaining to this subject, feel free to submit them to pastorsinbox@cbtseminary.org. And until next time, we wish you grace and peace. God bless.